Folcher, in der heutigen Episode geht es um Bowdrun Making und Pflegekinder. Hallo meine Lieben, ich bin Chris vom Podcast Erlebnis Irland. Ich bin Reisefotograf und Podcaster. In der heutigen Episode sind wir zu Besuch bei Malachy Kearns. Er ist der weltweit populärste Bowdrun-Maker. Ich überlege gerade, wie die Betonung ist, weil für einen nativ deutsch sprechenden ist es manchmal etwas schwierig, die Aussprache korrekt hinzubekommen. Ihn haben wir in seiner Werkstatt besucht und haben mit ihm über die Geheimnisse der Bowdrun. Auf jeden Fall in den diversen Beiträgen im Interview höre ich eigentlich nicht das, wie man es spricht, sondern das Arisch betont, das hört sich eher wie Bowran oder so. Also wie gesagt, ich hoffe, ich kriege die Bezeichnung einigermaßen richtig rüber. Auf jeden Fall handelt es sich bei der Bowran um eine Trommel. Und Malachy ist einer der wenigen, der diese Trommeln weltweit herstellt. Anscheinend kopieren es mittlerweile die Chinesen, aber die Originaltrommel macht der Malachy. Und entsprechend kennt er auch Gott und die Welt aus der Musikszene, zum Beispiel Lord of the Dance und wie sie alle heißen. Und er erzählt, wie man diese traditionelle irische Trommel herstellt. Es gibt zwei Theorien, wie diese Trommel nach Irland gekommen ist. Und zwar die eine ist, die Iren haben sie erfunden. Und die zweite ist, dass sie durch die Römer bzw. irgendwelche keltischen Stämme nach Irland gebracht worden ist. Bemerkenswert ist auf jeden Fall, dass diese Art Trommeln es fast auf der ganzen Welt gibt, dass die Indianer sie benutzt haben, dass die Inder sie benutzt haben, dass man sie sonst wo in Europa und auf der Welt ebenfalls benutzt hat. Also weltweit gibt es Trommeln nur als Unterhaltungsinstrument. Da fand sie tatsächlich hauptsächlich Anwendung in Irland. Also die Bowdrun ist das typischste Instrument in Irland. Und jetzt hört euch doch einfach mal an, was uns Malachy zu sagen hat zu diesem Instrument. Er hat auch einen sehr spannenden Shop und er zeigt euch auch gerne in seiner Werkstatt, wie eine Bowdrun entsteht. Wir selber haben auch eine mit und versuchen jetzt mal fleißig zu üben, sie zu spielen oder versuchen jetzt fleißig sie zu spielen. Schauen wir mal, vielleicht können wir euch ja mal eine Session spielen.
I noticed there was a bit of friction with the Germans and the Austrians.
Oh yeah, there is one.
Oh, I could feel it all the time, yeah, but anyway. But it was okay, yeah. Yeah, I still have good friends. They come and see me here still from all of those days. The food was magnificent in Bavaria. Oh, my God.
It's quite rich.
Oh, my God. That's why my wife couldn't understand how I kept going there twice a year and nowhere else, you know. So anyway, but I had good friends, you know, that's the big thing in life, friendship. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I live here in Roundstone, County Galway, West Connemara, the end of a lane in Western Europe, on an old Franciscan monastery with the graveyard. So I think I'm here to stay. I'm here 44 years. I moved from Dublin here, but it wasn't a big change. I had spent all my youth in Sligo, which is 100 miles north of here. my aunt had six little rural tourism business, you know, the shop and the pub and the farm and there was a quarry for sand and gravel and all those things. And I loved the friendliness. You see, this mapped my life. When I was 10, say, I always had to make a ham sandwich and a pot of tea for the bus driver at 7 a.m. And he had maybe a bag of potatoes he was leaving in for the guy in the bar. And then 10 minutes later, the creamery man used to come and he had four whiskey bottles filled with thick cream. And he'd put them down on the counter and he'd grunt and he'd have a large whiskey and go. You see, it was business and bigger than business. And I loved that world. So when I was 24, 25, I worked for Dutch engineering consultants. I had a good job, you know, working with great teams around the world, projects worldwide. But the call to be by the sea in the country, in friendly tourism, it was just too big. I had to leave my job. And oh, my older sisters thought I was crazy. And my sister in London, she was private secretary to the health minister then. And they were trying to arrange discreet psychiatric care for me in the UK. Jeez. Now they live here now and I take care of them. But that's life, you know. They were very good to me, you know, a big sister, you know. But it's a long journey getting going here, you know. And it was very hard. And now I'm at the other end after 44 years. What do I do next, you know? And I could give it up and just walk away and go to Portugal for a few months every winter. And but I have a problem. The Bowron attracts goodness. Everything about this business here and how I got into it was goodness. I was gifted most of the knowledge and encouragement, really, from a man called Pather Mercier. He founded the Chieftains as well. And in those days, just early 70s, late 60s, I lived beside him, you see. Sorry. And they used to just tap the Bowron on stage. But Pather developed a new, very clever playing technique. A one hand tucked behind the skin, moving, and the other hand with the stick or beater. So you have both hands interacting directly, which is the cleverest idea in the world of manual percussion. It's acknowledged everywhere. I've had, yeah, I go to, say, Frankfurt Music Messe, and you meet all the makers from around the world.
It's more powerful than two, because if you interact with both hands, if you look at traditions in Asia or so, they use both hands also to have more power.
They used more power, but the Bowron, the way it's played, we manipulate the sound with the skin pressing against the skin behind. And it's not so much about power, it's manipulating. Oh, this is...
that's my little one.
Oh.
There's another one outside.
We'll bring them in. Get their sweets over here now.
Yeah.
It's more about manipulating the sound. See, there's a bounce back from good goatskin, the way the Bowron was made. And, you know, the Asian techniques for percussion is very good, but the Bowron is just better again, how it's played. Most countries have a frame drum, or, you know, that drumming technique. It goes back to the beginning of mankind, really. But it's how the Bowron is played that's very Irish. And I was very blessed to be around at the beginning when that was being developed by Pather Mercier. And he was very kind to me, a very spiritual man. And I've tried to honour him. I try and do some very strong Christian work from here, especially with an orphanage in Ghana. And I have about 100 godchildren now, I think. And I'm okay. I love it all. A child is they have just simple truths and energy, and I'm more attracted to that than some of the world nonsense. So every
I think
day I have birthdays and godchildren and birthdays and big daddy this and papa that, and
But isn't it all about love and kindness in the world in order to have... I think fun is not the right word, but it's more like ecstatic, isn't it? To have happiness?
Yeah, happiness goes up and down, but it's nice. Once you know that it's probably coming again, I think that's what makes it... You know, I know there's another phone call coming from Ghana today, you know. A few tonight, probably. And that's where the happiness lies, is the flow of it all, you know. And you see, the Bowron, the Irish people love a Bowron maker to be going well. They feel they're going well. Ireland is going well, too. I get great favours from Irish people. They love to see the Bowron maker going along easily. And the word Bowron, the word Bowron evolves from the Irish word Bower, B-O-D-H-A-R, which means death, or from deep within, meaning the life centre in your gut. So when the Bowron is played a certain way, and the skin is manipulated with all that rapid change in energy and tempo, it hits your gut rather than your head and heart. We usually process that way. But there's none of that with the Bowron. It's straight to your life centre. And you'd hear people saying, I love the sound of the Bowron. But they've already gone to the left. They're saying, I love the feeling that goes with the sound of the Bowron. And that's what got me at the beginning. It still does, you know. And it's all very simple, really. And the Bowron is a spirit instrument. It's simple. It's just good goat skin, de-haired, de-fleshed, with no chemical. Keep the fibre strong. And the playing technique, then, is the other bit. So in the world market now, there's a lot of talk about the rim and the colour of the rim and the size. You know, it's really not very significant.
So the easiest building or the easiest form is the most pleasurable?
Well, the form of the building, there used to be just 18-inch diameter Bowron. That's because at the beginning we use sieves, which are used for separating... When you're making cement, you know, you have sand and cement, and it would separate the large pebbles from the sand. But that sieve rim was a good size for a Bowron. But then the technique of making strong rims with molds, the way we set up, took over. But it started as a big, around 17, 18 inch diameter product. And now you have mainly 18, 16 and 14 inch Bowrons, but the dimensions are not that critical. It's about the skin, hopefully not exposed to chemical. See, I call chemical skins, if they were processed too quickly, the fibre is damaged, the bounce back isn't there. See, the bounce back on goat skin creates an energy as part of the playing. It brings you into it all. And the Bowron is a spirit instrument. And you play it your way. Like, we know how to breathe, we know how to drum. Now, that's what a lot of people say. But
so, in the other interview, you said that the Bowron is the more or less the most original instrument, because most of the people think about the harp, but it isn't.
Oh, yeah, in Ireland, the national symbol is the harp, you know, but that's government symbol, government letter stuff. We're not very interested in that, the average Irish. The real national symbol of Ireland is the Bowron. It's loved. The Irish love it. You want to see Ireland when they're playing England in a soccer match. You won't see anybody waving a little harp around the place. You know, they have Bowrons at the match. It's part of our being, you know. And, it's... See the Bowron as victory. It's a victory symbol because in the old days when England ruled Ireland, you had a very severe rent system and peasants living in little farms. But if you were singing an Irish song, for instance, your rent was doubled. They had a super informer system. That's how the UK empire was built. But the Irish used to hide the Bowron on the kitchen table. They put potatoes in it, you know. It was just potatoes on the table. And then they had a bone, the leg of a goat, on a shelf, you know. And that was the beater for playing it at night time. And the English and the informers didn't really catch on to that, you know. So it's a secret, silent victory symbol. And we love it.
So if you want to listen to a good baron player in the region, where would we go?
In this region, in Connemara, there is a fellow in Clifton called Sean Halpenny, or Sean Bowron. I'm called Malachy Bowron, he's called Sean Bowron. It's a very distinguished label to get in Ireland, to have Bowron attached to your name. You know, you're very privileged. So he's in Clifton, he's a percussionist, and he plays a lot of instruments. He was here yesterday, actually. He plays the Jew's harp as well, we call it, a little harp. And he's a good one. And oh, there's plenty of young players coming up. There was a young player here, Seamus O'Flaherty from South Connemara, Carna. He was here with me about a week ago. We were filming, there was a Swedish folk group finishing off recording a CD. Bill Whelan, the Riverdance composer, has a recording studio here in Roundstone. And this young man took over demonstrating how to play better than me, of course. You know, I was delighted. He's fantastic, this young man. And it's like that everywhere. The engine of the Bowron world and the American is a young person in a little town in Ireland playing the Bowron. And they have people mesmerized from all the different countries watching the playing and the sound and the energy. And, yeah, but if you want to know some of the famous players, there's plenty of them. Yeah, we all love each other. And but Riverdance kind of began in Roundstone, Riverdance, the dance show. Bill Whelan, when he started composing, and then he'd pop down to me, he'd cycle down actually, and he'd say, let's drive this with some crazy powerful percussion. And, you know, we had a go. There wasn't very strong specific specifications for drum. We were thinking about drummers and dancers all in the one, and all these things, and it evolved very quickly that way. It was meant to be a 3 or 4 minute little music piece for the Eurovision Song Contest, but it sure it evolved to a magnificent world show, you know, and sells Ireland well, and jobs and money, and so and the Bowron is a big feature of Riverdance even, and the Eilean pipes and that, you know. One time, Bill Whelan was telling me he was in Japan at the first night of Riverdance. So he brought the Emperor of Japan backstage to meet all the musicians. And as we were going along, see, the Emperor's wife plays the harp. She studied in Trinity College in Dublin when she was young. And then got along to the Bowron player. And the Emperor said, oh, they're made in Galway, in Ireland somewhere, you know. And Bill was looking and saying, how in the name of God does he, you know, the Emperor of Japan talking about Bowrons, you know. But it's like that. Like, I mean, I have a picture of King Charles holding up a Bowron, you know, and Camilla holding another one. Like, with the history of Ireland and England, that's an amazing photograph to have. Mm-hmm. And it's not a Photoshop. And actually, Prince Charles is coming here in 3 days' time. He comes to this area every year, almost, always has done. Now, this time he comes as king, so, but there's never any intense security. Any of the other years I've seen around, you wouldn't notice anything. But it'll probably be different in a few days' time. I think it's the 5th of June or something like that. And that's kind of a salute to Connemara, you know, where is the nicest place in the world that the King of England might go and feel welcome.
I think it's also because of horses, isn't it?
Pardon? It's
because of horses? Because of the Connemara pony?
He loves nature. He loves just raw nature. He's very into gardening and plants and wildflower. And it's more the raw beauty. The natural beauty here is stunning. I'm here 44 years and I've never had one moment where I thought this was, oh, I saw that yesterday. It's not like that. It takes me over. It's bigger than me. Every moment is a wow kind of thing. And like today, it's another one, you know.
It's absolutely beautiful. So, yeah. You said energy is created kind of at the Bowron. So it's used for healing too?
The Bowron, is it used for healing? Yes, I think anything that touches your soul. See, the Bowron really speaks to your soul. So I think anything that touches your soul, and when people get to understand There's no set way to play the Bowron. Play it your way. My son plays completely differently to me, but he had the top players, Bowron player, you know, in the world, always. They pop in and out here. They were giving him lessons. And he's actually a Ghanaian boy. He's a very black boy, very good-looking young man, playing the Bowron better than any of us. You know, it's funny, isn't it? What happens at the end of a lane in Western Europe. It's strange how life goes. The spirit of the Bowron, it's because of the gut-level connection. It's very freeing for the soul. I see that. I remember one time Pather Mercier showing me the Chieftains were playing in London in the Albert Hall. The acoustics were superb. And the musicians went into solo, you know, a little bit of fiddle on its own, then a bit of whistle on its own, and so on. And then Pather, he just gave me a dig when I came to the bar and he said, watch, everybody goes still for 4 minutes, 4 seconds, I mean, maybe, which is very hard to arrange. You know, it's not the way people are, because they've gone to their gut, not their head. And they're just in that, feeling it. And that's when I knew the Bowron was different. Yeah, but I was very blessed to have a master, mentor, whatever the word is, you know, very good man. He taught me about spiritual life generally, you know, and adding to people's lives. And that's how happiness follows. And he explained it in a very simple way, you know, it stuck with me. You know. And this beautiful, beautiful boy, my granddaughter Janelle, she lived with us for the last 6 years. We were rearing her. And now, a month ago, she moved to Dublin full time, and I'm lost. So I'm going to keep your little boy, if I may. All my best friends are under 12, you know.
We are fostering, so he's our foster.
He's absolutely, well, we're similar, so we're similar. It's the beauty, the love is. I remember one time with my son when he was about 4 or 5, say, or 6. I was on a flight in the States somewhere, and then when I went to the bathroom, the air hostess was talking to me. And see, my son is a Ghanaian boy. He's black, he's a strong black boy. But she said to me, I've never seen two human beings so connected. I said, really? Yeah, she said, I was watching you. And this woman had fostered 26 children. And she was young, still, well, very young looking and healthy anyway. And the spirit, the brightness in her, you know, see, they added to her life. And I knew, she knew, and you understood that. And it's the biggest experience in my life of understanding God is when I look at my son, Jason. That's my daughter who was always running around. And my granddaughter up to a month ago. It's terrible. Now that my granddaughter's not here, the emptiness is huge, you know. So you get to understand what counts in life. The energy of a child changes everything. See, children live in the present, in the moment. They have no attention or energy for anything else. And that's what adults are supposed to do, but we lose it. And
it's healthier too, if you are in the present moment.
Oh, yeah. The now, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a rock on my desk in my office that says now. That's the challenge, to stay with the moment. Sometimes I'm good at it. Sometimes. But it gets easier to be still and calmer in Connemara. Like, I stop at the beach every morning and evening, right at the water, with my coffee, and I do nothing. And it's always bigger than me, and it takes over in a silent way, the ocean and the roll, the waves, the consistency. Here we go again, another day. And I say, well, I do the same, you know. And that's what drives me. It's simple, you know. There's no big words about it all. It's very beautiful. So I realised I was very blessed to have a bit of madness and come here.
Yeah. Sometimes those decisions that are made out of the gut are the best ones.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of a bit mad. There was no great plan. I remember reading some journalist wrote about me, all the plan I had and working it out here. There was no plan. I took a chance and I said, I hope this works. I'll see you after a year. And it wasn't easy, but I didn't have much choices, you know. And then I got to love here and I wasn't going anywhere anyway. Well, what changed me was after about 5 years, I was here and I had to make the decision to go back to my old job in engineering. It wasn't working out, the business. And then there's a company in Hamburg called Marian, M-E-R-I-E-N, I think, I-A-N, Marian. They're guidebook people, you know, travel guide. And they somehow, I didn't see, they put in a lovely photo of me in the book with my daughter sitting beside me, helping me with the design on a drum and ballroom. And then about a half a page description, and everything changed. I'm still here. So I have a very good connection to Germany. Very good.
Yeah, sometimes there are things in life you can't really put in that place and it works out, which is quite lovely because afterwards you're happy that this was the way it was going.
Oh, yeah. Like if I thought of the things I wished for, and sure, nothing ever worked out anyway. And I realize now it's for the better. Better things worked out. And the time has come here for what do I do next? I'm selling some of the property, or maybe all of it, but not leaving. You know, I'd be involved in newer building development. And my son, we call him Gucci. He loves nice clothes and nice places. And he's not that interested at the moment. He loves Barcelona and Man United and things like that.
Which is okay when you're young, because you have to see a lot of things to get back to the easiest things. Happens with me, with a lot of people too.
Oh yeah, yes, you're correct. He's doing his final exam today. I hope he gets it.
Crossing my fingers.
Yeah, but he's very pleasant, smart, intelligent, respectful young man. He's invited everywhere. Everything, everywhere. Every family is going on holidays. They're wanting to go with their kids, and so that's good. You know, he's okay. And but I have to find a helper, or find the next move, the next stage. 95% of ballrooms are made in China now, and they're not good ones. You know, the skins are hopeless, chemical skins. But it still affects the market. You know, so the ballroom makers are dropping away. You know, because we can't make a living. I have to do everything here now. We give talks on the craft and two groups. You know, pre-booked, and my wife has a craft shop and out here. And it's okay, we're managing, but it's not very profitable like it was, you know. And but then there's my plans and God's plans, and I better leave it alone, I think. Let it work itself out, like everything else. So?
Hast du eine Frage?
I don't know if you asked this before. Who does the paintings? For the drums?
You do the paintings yourself on the drums, don't you?
The artwork on the drums, no, I don't. I might sketch out a design, but that kind of work is better done totally uninterrupted in a back room, very focused. So I have two artists. They're only part-time now since COVID, with all the cutbacks and changes. And but at the rate the season is improving this year. Oh, tourism is good again. I don't know what's coming next, but it's okay.
So it's like gouache painting, or do you, what kind of colors are there?
Is it, well, everything is hand painted, yeah. Like we just, we might sketch like that there. There's the outline of a crest, you know, for somebody wanted a family crest. A lot of the Irish Americans, the chiefs of big corporations in the States, they love to have a baron in their office with their family crest. It's a big statement. We are Irish, you know. And there's a lot of them. We're busy doing that, and then somebody takes it away and they want another one. And you know, there's the music gift and souvenir market. So, yeah, it's a...
How long are you working on one like that?
Oh, this day and a half, 2 days work. It's, you have to let the inks dry for 3 or 4 days as well, then, and then we have to seal them and the design or whatever it is. So we don't like to time it all anymore, because in theory it's not really feasible to make bar runs anymore. But we don't want to know. We just keep doing. I'm not giving her up today anyway. And it's been good to me. See, it's a business that's bigger than, it's not all about money. if you're meeting nice people in a nice place every day, that's enough. I got that. Just like I had it when I was 10 in Sligo. I got it. It'll do. All is well.
You can't take everything with you when you have to go, you know.
Oh, I'll bring nothing with me. That's for certain. Certain. I never hold on to money because even this morning I did something with money that maybe... Well, I'm glad I did it. Yeah, somebody in need. And by the end of the day, probably I'd have a good day too. Like that, you know. That's the way I see it, you know. And... yeah, so like my kid brother dropped dead 5 years ago. You kind of never think about the young brother dying, you know. But it certainly changes how I see life, you know. I get on with today and help somebody if I can and hug a beautiful boy.
Yeah.
My buddy, Sophie.
Das ist mein Rüber. Der Mann hat ja vielleicht noch was. Guck mal, mit dem kann ich.
This boy is loved. I can see it. It bounces back. I can feel it. He's gorgeous. Yeah, he's just like Janelle. Is he 6 or 7?
He's 6.
6, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like Janelle, my granddaughter. She's actually a princess from top end royalty in West Africa. Strange old world, isn't it? Talking about that at the end of a lane in Western Europe.
Yeah, and you said there are a lot of Africans here?
In Ireland, well, Ireland is very multicultural now, in the cities mainly. But there's, my wife is from Ghana, West Africa. So Ireland has changed. When you see the Bowra maker's wife is black, Ireland has changed. That is a big marker. And that's just what happened in my life. And yeah, it's like that around the country now. There's whether it's the doctor is from Egypt or, you know, so on. It's like that in hospitals everywhere. And there's a lot of Ukrainian people here now as well because of the war. And they're very welcome, but that has become mixed up with a separate issue of there's a housing crisis in Ireland and Europe. But that's nothing got to do with the war and Ukraine. But it's all mixed up now, the usual political kind of waffle. But please, God, it'll... Somebody was telling me there, looking forward, they said, if you want to build your house, build it now. Because in 2 years' time, all the Irish builders and tradesmen to be gone to the Ukraine to rebuild Ukraine, just like the English or the Irish went to England in the 1950s after the war.
Can't be, because I think when the war is over, there's lots to build up again.
Oh, yeah. So there'd be all the tradesmen from Europe would be heading for Ukraine. And we see. Maybe it'll be some Russian oil money you'll have to pay for rebuilding it. I think it should.
Yeah.
So actually, we help a Ukrainian couple here. They run a lovely little restaurant. Well, it's takeaway food only, but it's beautiful Ukrainian food. So sometimes I...
Here in Ronston?
Yeah, just outside Ronston. But they deliver to me. Sometimes I just ring and say, can I have a nice lunch? There's three of us. Just whatever you find. And it just arrives. Beautiful food, you know, and not too expensive. You know, we're all happy. And... yeah, it's a young Ukrainian girl. Her husband is ill, even though he's only 34. He has MS, but he can sit at home with computer work. So I'd like to help her out a bit, you know. But the food is great. That's what decides everything. And that's nice to have a change like that, you know. So,
can you name the restaurant for our listeners? Maybe some would like to help too?
Yeah, I'll have to read it out to you from... Can you hang on 1 second?
Yeah, no problem.
There you are. You can
Food by Maria. Home-cooked meals served at your door. We can offer a set of menu for each day. Minimum order 2 portions. The price for lunch and dinner is 25 euros per person. And they have a WhatsApp. It's +353 87 344 9883. And I have, and Christoph puts it in the show notes.
Yeah,
you put it in the show notes.
Of course.
Because if we can help, then it would be good too.
Yeah, she's a lovely young woman and she's young kids. And to see her struggle with her husband's illness and the war and moving to a remote little house outside Ransom Village and a smile on her face every day and kids going to school. And I have to say I admire that, you know. So a bit like me in the old days.
Yeah, if people try and just to survive and it's good that they also can earn something and be happy with the family and everyone is safe, that's the best thing, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a young Ukrainian girl starting to work here next week. I met her a few weeks ago here. She had a little lovely little girl with her. And then, but she couldn't work because somebody has to mind the child, you know. But now her mother is coming in a few days. So she's going to mind the child and this lady is going to work here. She's very good English. And we always did that here, going back over 30, 40 years. We always had somebody from another country like Brazil or whatever way it happened. Just, we always liked to have one extra person from abroad, just for fun. And they would teach my daughter how to cook Norwegian breakfast or whatever it was. I remember she loved that one anyway. And now we're... So... it all rolls on.
Where do you get your materials for the drums?
Well, the skins we get them from all, the goat skins, we get them from all over Ireland, England, Scotland and Wales. I have family for nearly 200 years, I think now. They're cattle exporters, you know, they in Sligo, Leitrim, they export, but they have trucks everywhere around Ireland picking up cattle and at the marts, and they pick up the goat skins for me. So that makes it very feasible. I'm not sure how I'd manage without that. It just would cost too much, really, I think. So that's what we do, and we dehair them. We salt them first and freeze them if we're not ready to deal with them. And then we dehair and deflesh in a very simple way. Ah, there's one little trade secret, but my granddaughter Janelle told me not to tell anybody. Yes.
That's okay.
So, oh yeah. I used to travel the world up to a few years ago all the time. I was very blessed that I've been to 44 countries, I think. You see, I can go to Sydney tomorrow and maybe give a talk at the Irish Centre in Sydney or something like that. Same in Chicago or whatever. And make a little bit of money, enough to make the travelling manageable. And I always had that. So it's very nice, you know. I used to go always for Patrick's Week. I remember being in Singapore, Sydney, of course, in the States, Germany. I think I was in Cologne for St. Patrick's Day once, and that kind of thing. And, you know, it's not bad. A lot of the universities in the States, they ask me to give talks and explain what they're making. I'm not sure I'm good enough to do it. I'm getting more confident now. You see, when you're on your own and outside your workshop, it's much harder to explain the craft. But at the same time, if I get help with how to present all that, I could travel a little bit more in the times ahead, you know, just do a little bit of work, get a few quid and all those grandchildren, godchildren and keep an eye on everything. So we were thinking of doing a play as a charity fundraiser thing where it's about two people that work in a shop, a Bauron shop, and how they deal with, say, a German person that comes in and then a Japanese person. It's the same product, same shop, but it's a totally different story. And then maybe look at how the fellow from Cork buys a Bauron. He just wants a good Bauron, you know. That. Don't be annoying him with any talk. They do all the talking. we're going to do a play on it, maybe, and because you can travel around the world and do that, you know. And the thing about that is you can make up a little bit too, you know.
It's a good thing. And I'm a teacher in real life, so I also have a theater club, a drama club.
All right.
Yeah, so if you want, we could try that out.
You never know. Yeah, it's getting to the time when I just want to do more of these things and get away from the making for a few months every year. So I'm working on somehow getting that going. So will you be the customer in the shop or will you be the working in the shop?
Depends, can do both roles.
So you'll be the German buyer then, looking for a Bauron. See, they're easy to deal with. German people understand handcraft and quality. And they, you know, the staff here I notice to be very easy wanting to help somebody. But when somebody comes from a certain other country, we won't say where, they all run in the back here. They don't want to deal with certain people that don't want to pay for very much. And there's others that they're always looking for something smaller and cheaper, you know, and kind of have this technique perfected where they try and wear you down. But yeah, we'll see anyway. There's all these little opportunities, isn't there? You never know. So, and we put himself working there too. Will he be the cameraman or will he be the Bauron maker?
I think he will take pictures of the whole process.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, he likes the easy jobs, yeah. Typical.
No, he's really hardworking. He's getting my back.
How do you say his first name again?
Christoph.
Oh, Christoph. Christo. If you had an O on the end, Christo, rather than Christoph, when you get an O on the end of your name in Ireland, it means you're kind of a respected criminal. Christo. Anto. Damo. Anto. Yeah, so...
Maybe.
Kind of looks like if he's not shaved.
You're close.
You're close. I think so, yes.
You're close. Yeah, so, yeah, it's a... But it's a wonderful world here, living on the edge of Western Europe. This was an old monastery, Franciscan monastery here, the grounds. It's kind of holy ground, I suppose. All the Franciscan universities in the States grew from here. In 1845, some of the monks left from here. And that's very nice to... Well, some way connected with that. I offered some of the land to, I didn't offer it for nothing now, to the Franciscan order in the States, their head office in New Jersey. Actually, my cousin is the chairman of all it's a voluntary job. They were good to him when he was young. And I thought this could be easy now. No. Half of them are accountants. Even the head of the Franciscan order in New Jersey is an accountant that left the profession. And he said that, typical accountant, we have no budget at the moment for overseas properties. But Jeff, when he was here, he said, this is a place to come to. It's how he described it as, because it's so peaceful and the big, wide, high garden walls, you know, the old walls and walled gardens here in the monastery to protect from the wind and the ocean. And it's very beautiful down the back here, you know, the whole grounds. So, but I'm selling some, but now I don't know what's going to happen. Somebody will buy it. But that doesn't mean we don't plough ahead. It just means we'd be working on the top floor of some new development with the main view and resting places. Yeah? That'll be where the workshop is going next.
That sounds good. Well, maybe an Airbnb could be possible.
Yeah, there's somebody on this morning, American investors, talking about that. Yeah. So they want to look into the planning aspect of it. Yeah, it takes its own course. I don't decide. God decides. But,
But you also have lots of cooperations with different authors and artists here. And
there's a lot of gifts and souvenirs. See, we give talks to groups, you know. And, you know, people on tour, and they like to buy something every day. It's part of what we do, really. So there's all. This is like a play shop. It's not a themed shop. This is a play shop. When I was 10, I had in my head a little play shop with my little tractors and trailers from the cornflakes boxes, you know, the cereal. And this is, it's just an extension of it, really, because there's no special order to it or theme. I don't know what the half the stuff in the place is now, you know. But that's great. So, yeah, we tend to have quite a bit of real craftsmen's crafts because we would know each other, the craftspeople, and we swap stuff in the winter and that kind of thing, you know, which means everybody's getting something at a better price, you know. Yeah, and so especially some of the knitwear and the hand-loomed, whatever the word is, you know, scarves and that stuff.
What is there what other crafts are made around here?
Well, there's a good few artists. This is a haven for artists because of the stunning beauty. The most painted scene in Ireland always is Roundstone. And, you know, there's artist groups come here then on holidays and that kind of thing. But as for other crafts, there's a few, you know. But it's quite difficult to make it all pay, to make it work full-time. You see, a seasonal aspect of the business. Now, we're okay. We have mail order. It's a big part of everything here. And so we have the States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Thanksgiving time in the States, you know, October, November. All those things fill the gaps for us. But not everybody would have that. I was lucky. Well, it was more than luck. I won the Golden Spider Web Award way back years ago for the best website in Ireland. Now, I can only type with one finger, but see what you can do. Now, I remember the final stages. We were up against Guinness's. They had consultants on a $500,000 budget and so on. But when you win that award, Bowron.com became entrenched very deeply in the internet world, you know. And, you know, the Bowron is blessed. The Bowron maker is blessed. It's like that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Great to meet. Germany's been very good to me. And hope it continues, you know. Tell them more to come.
Yeah. We put all the information in the show notes. When are your opening times? Do you have closed days? Or
we open at 11 in the morning to around 5:30. But usually if my wife was here, she stays open later in the evening, 6 or 7 or in the summer, you know. So we're open 6 days in the winter, 7 days in summer. And Bowron.com, Bowron.com always has quick information on that. And a lot of people, I encourage them to maybe ring or check in beforehand. I can, very often I'm open much earlier, you know, it depends on the bones and the pains and the help. That's it.
And you have coffee.
Oh yeah, always good coffee, that's guaranteed. Good coffee, good whiskey, good wine.
Tea?
Barry's tea. Oh, we have special tea, all right. Barry's Red Label tea in particular. There's a difference between Barry's tea and a wholesale Red Label.
Can you tell us?
It's better. It's just better. I give it to people. I buy a big pack of catering pack of Barry's Red Label. But I noticed it's nicer than the one if you buy a small box. You know, you have to taste it to know the difference. You can try it out now if you want in a minute. It's very good though. Yeah. So, yeah, Ireland, not bad.
So thanks a lot, and hope to see you soon.
Thank you. Now, my buddy.
Jetzt freut es mich, freut es uns, dass du bei dieser Episode mit dabei warst, damit du dir, dass du dir die Zeit genommen hast, zuzuhören. Wir haben eine Facebook-Gruppe speziell für irische Themen. Also wenn ihr Anregungen habt oder Fragen habt, dann bitte dort. Ich packe sie ebenfalls in die Shownotes. Wenn dir unsere Episode gefallen hat, dann kannst du uns auch gerne abonnieren oder uns ein Like auf der entsprechenden Plattform, in der du uns gehört hast, da lassen. Das zeigt uns dann immer, dass wir gehört werden, dass es euch Spaß macht, uns zuzuhören. Ansonsten wünsche ich dir einen ganz, ganz tollen Tag. Bis bald. Dein Chris und
eine Fee.